Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast.
We have three human needs listed here: love, security, and self-esteem. Now, I will tell you that the three human needs is not something that I came up with. It was created by Dr. Joseph Schindler somewhere around 1954. It first appeared in a book that he wrote called How to Live 365 Days a Year. I came in contact with it by reading Maxwell Maltz's phenomenal bestseller, Psycho-Cybernetics, where he mentioned Dr. Schindler's work. And in the work, he said that there were six human needs. He said there was love, security, self-esteem. There was expression. There was new experiences. And there was a creative idea. Now, as I began to look at those six human needs, I thought to myself, what's interesting is that the first three are really the needs: love, security, and self-esteem. The second three is the healthy expression of the first three. Now, you can argue that there's people that can't actually express those things because of some kind of physical challenge in their life. And I would agree with you. I would totally agree with that. So I'm not here to discuss that. What I'm really here to do is to break it down into the three most important categories that are going to make the biggest difference for you in your life and the success that you want. And that is love, security, and self-esteem. Self-esteem is where your success blueprint actually lies. And we're going to get really into this. I think you're going to find it very exciting. So let's start off with the three human needs. When we're born, we come into this world really just a pure little beautiful vessel of life. And that little vessel that we are has no judgment. It has no guilt. It has no past conditioning. It's not carrying with it any burdens. It has no responsibilities. All it is a pure little vessel of love and joy and pure expression. It has no love issues. In other words, one of the greatest things about a little baby is that it is just pure love. It just gives love unconditionally, and it can receive love unconditionally. It has no self-esteem or self-image issues. Self-esteem issues and self-image issues and self-worth issues are something that is learned, that is ingrained in us, that is programmed in us over a period of time based on the people that we're exposed to from the time of birth. But at the time of birth, there is no issue. So what issue does the little baby have? Security. Security is the main issue in this child's life. The first thing, really, that little baby needs after we get it all cleaned off is food. That's the first thing that the child needs. It needs to bond with the mother so that the mother will then feed that little baby and the security is being established. But what's interesting is that a little baby is 100% reliant upon the parent for security for a very long period of time. There is no other animal in the animal kingdom that is reliant upon its parental figures longer than the human baby. And that human baby is reliant in such a way that it has to learn to communicate its basic survival needs to the mother, and the mother needs to learn to understand that communication so that they can go in a back and forth so that that child actually gets what it needs to survive. Now, prior to the age of 7 years old, there's no real conscious mind developed in the child. So how does this little child know that there's a connection that's established with the mother so that it feels secure? If you don't remember when you were a little baby, I'm sure that we have all been around a little baby or a very small child that feels insecure. It is not a pretty sight. When a child feels insecure, it will act out in various different ways based on whatever the conditioned nature is up until that point in order to get the attention that it needs. Now, it could be hungry, it could be hot, it could be cold, it could be in pain, it could need a diaper change, it could be sick, not feeling well. There's several different things that that child could need that it needs to communicate with the mom or the father in order to get those needs met. This is what keeps this child secure. How is it then that if we have this little bundle of love, this little bundle of self-expression that is really without issue if the child is born healthy, that we have so many people in society today that grow up extremely dysfunctional, mildly dysfunctional, everywhere in between, and we can't seem to get out of our own way when success is the natural state that we should actually be in? I personally believe that it starts at this level. It starts at the level of this little child. Now, let's think about this for a moment. If the child is in a situation where it does not have parents that are aware, that understand how to correct behavior that is either inappropriate or they're just teaching the child how to behave itself, as it begins to grow, you have parents that come from a place of what we call manipulation. And it's not, I wouldn't say that it's a conscious manipulation. The parent is not trying to, unless there's something severely wrong with the parent is not trying to inflict pain or discomfort upon the child, but the parent is also under some form of pressure to help this child to understand how to conform to day-to-day life as this little baby begins to grow. Well, in the beginning, the child doesn't understand language. The child can't read. So what does the child understand? The child understands feeling. That is about the only thing that the child understands and doesn't understand it consciously, understands it intuitively, meaning that it understands feeling in direct correlation to its own security, to its own survival. The bonding that takes place between the child and the mother creates a feeling of love. That feeling of love feels secure. If the child has never experienced doing something wrong or doing something incorrect or actually needing any kind of correction, which would fall under the self-esteem idea or in that category, so it does not have any negative feelings associated with the idea of its own self-image or its own self-awareness, because it has none at this point. But what happens if mom is displeased with the child, or dad is displeased with the child, or frustrated, or tired, or not feeling well that day, and the child is acting up because it doesn't feel well? Well, instead of communicating pure love to that child, we might be communicating frustration. We might be communicating displeasure. We might be communicating our own anxiety. We might be communicating the idea that we're upset with that child. When we communicate that idea to the child actually feels like there's a sever that has taken place between mom and the child, causing the child instantly then to begin to feel insecure about its situation. If this was to just happen once, or if this was to just happen periodically, no big deal. We're just talking about people that are in their natural state of, you know, how they're expressing themselves, going through the daily frustrations of life. But when this happens on a regular basis, because a parent does not understand how to get a child to conform and reinforce a positive reaction with that child, what ends up happening is we reinforce a negative reaction within that child. The child then begins at the very early stages to develop its self-image, its idea of who it is in and of itself. Day after day, hour after hour, week after week, month after month, year after year, prior to the age of 7 years old, we're being reinforced with an idea of who we are as a person. We don't have the ability to reject that idea if it's something that we don't like, because we don't have a conscious mind developed which gives us the faculty of actually rejecting the idea. What is it then is taking place? This core image of who we are is slowly but surely developing in its entirety until, boom, the day comes when we are conscious of the world that's around us. But we're not conscious of the world that is going on inside of us. That means we see things as we are, but we don't understand who we are at that point in our life. So everything is a constant filter of what it is that we're seeing, and we determine those things being good, bad, indifferent, whatever judgment we may have on them, based on who we are at that point in our life. Now, again, we're small children when this takes place. So we don't have the ability to really discern what would be considered normal versus abnormal, what would be considered functional versus dysfunctional. Everything is just as we see it. So it becomes a literal experience of whatever expression that's going on around us. I have interviewed many wealthy people where they were raised poor. Some were raised in abject poverty. And they'll all tell you the same thing. We didn't know we were poor when we were kids because they had nothing to compare it to. Life was just life. That's the way that it was. I have talked to people that were raised in abusive households, from mild to just absolutely crazy. And until they had something to compare it to, they didn't know that that was not normal. They did not know that the kid next door or the kid down the block was not suffering the same abuse that they were suffering. So when we're little, whatever world we're being raised in, whatever ideas that we're being raised with, really seems to be the core or the essence of our entire world. That's it. That's all we know. And therein lies where our success blueprint actually starts to develop in the subconscious mind under the idea of self-image. So what I want to do for the remainder of this lesson is to really break down the ideas of love, security, and self-image for you, to give you some things to really think about as it pertains to yourself. Because I can tell you this, when we can get to the place where we completely love ourselves without judgment without being afraid of what other people think. And we can come from a place that is completely unconditional with that love. We then start to move into an area where we are free to love other people and receive love. Now, here's the thing. If you don't love yourself unconditionally, you cannot love another person. You may be experiencing emotions of fondness. You may be experiencing emotions of love, but you cannot come from a conscious place of love because you don't know a conscious place of love inside of yourself. So the first question for you is, number one, do you love yourself? Do you love yourself? And I think that you have to sit down, and this is a very serious question. I'm not saying, are you perfect, okay? So you also have to be on kind of on guard about how you're filtering the question that I'm presenting to you, okay? I'm not saying, are you perfect? I'm not saying, have you ever done anything wrong in your life, or have you ever not done anything wrong in your life? Have you ever judged or not judged another person? What I'm saying is, do you love yourself? It doesn't mean you can't get better. It doesn't mean that there aren't things about you that need improvement. That is a given. That's a statue of life. We all are in that place. That's part of the human experience. We will do that till the day we die, hopefully. We're always improving. Do you love yourself unconditionally? Can you look at yourself in the mirror? My mentor used to say you should be able to wake up in the morning and just kiss yourself, because you're so in love with yourself. And that's not conceit. That is a healthy way of being. Because if we can't love ourselves, if we can't accept ourselves, we can't do it with others. Number two, can you give love? Now think. Can you give love without needing anything in return? Can you give love without needing anything in return? Number three, can you receive love from other people? Can you receive love in an intimate relationship? Can you receive love in a friendship? So many people have the issue that they cannot receive love. They just can't let another person love them. It makes them feel uncomfortable. It makes them feel disorientated. Now, there's a lot of reasons for this. We're going to get into those later. But for now, just answer these questions. Number four, can you give and receive love without conditions of any kind? Meaning that you don't need anything back from somebody else. You can just love somebody, whether they've done something wrong. Maybe they've done something wrong to you. Maybe they've done something wrong to other people. Maybe they're of a different race. Maybe they're of a different gender. Maybe they're a different sexual orientation. Maybe they're overweight. Maybe they're skinny. Maybe they're imperfect of any kind. Can you love someone unconditionally just for being a person? And can you receive love of any kind? Do you feel a pressure that if you were to receive love from someone, that that means that you must give something in return? Can you just receive it? Can you say, yes, I'm worthy of receiving love. Thank you very much. Okay, now let's move over to security. Security, or lack of it, is what stops most people in their tracks from actually moving forward into, number one, the person that they want to be, number two, the life that they want to live, number three, the expression that they want to be in this lifetime. Question number two, what represents security for you? Is it a house? Is it the way you dress? Is it being in a relationship? Is it not being in a relationship? Is it a certain amount of money in the bank? Is it having a lot of money or a little money? Now, believe it or not, this can go both ways. Is it a job? Is it health? What is it for you? What represents security in your life? Is it somebody taking care of you? Is it you taking care of somebody else? There's all different ways that you can ask this question. You have to ask yourself, what makes me feel secure in my life? Number three, what makes you feel fear or insecurity? What makes you feel fear or insecurity? Again, we're talking about the circumstances in your life, the people in your life, the conditions in your life, the environment in which you live in or don't live in, right? What makes you feel fear or insecurity? Number four, what must you know in order to make decisions? Now, the reason that this question is in here is because in order for us to have the success that we truly want in life, it requires that we make decisions, period. And I'm not talking about a decision, oh, I'm going to do something today and because I want this result, and tomorrow I don't feel like it. Or tomorrow I'm going to change my mind. Or tomorrow I'm going to look for something better or easier to come down the pike, and I'll jump on that. It means that we make 100% committed decisions to some specific outcome until we experience that outcome. We'll talk more about that when we talk about goal setting. But what must you know in order to make the decision? You see, here's the thing about people that are very successful. Successful people, whether they're conscious of it or not, seem to be following an inner guidance system that says, do this, be this, accomplish this, create this, experience this. And it's not that they're coming at it from a place of immaturity or lack of responsibility to what a negative consequence could be. They just understand that, number one, the only failure we can really have is if we quit on ourselves. If we fail at something, that does not mean we're a failure. It means that we're in the learning process. Failure is nothing but a result, but if we quit, that's the ultimate failure. Because nothing can change if we quit. If we have or experience a negative result or what we would call a failure, we can instantly learn from it. We can say, what mistakes did I make? What errors did I make? And how could I get a different result the next time? We then get back up, back on the horse, and boom, away we go at it again. Because the inner guidance of who we really are says, this is what we must do in this lifetime. But so many people are stuck in the place of indecision. They succumb to procrastination. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it next week. I'll do it another time. I'll do it when conditions change. I'll do it when I have more money. The three biggest objections that we hear about decisions are time, I don't have enough time, money, I don't have enough money, and this is not the right time. Here's the truth. You don't need the time, you don't need the right time, and you don't need the money until you make a decision. The second you make a decision to do something, everything in the universe conspires to the manifestation of that decision if you will stick with the decision. Job 22:28 says, "Thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established unto me, and the light shall shine upon the way." Now, doesn't matter if you're a Christian or not, those are sound words of advice. Thou shalt decree a thing. In other words, we make a decision. What is a decree? It is a stand for a decision. It is the verbalization of the thing. "And it shall be established unto me, and the light shall shine upon the way." Number five, what rules do you have in place that prevent you from doing what you want? Now, when we talked about the subconscious mind, we said we had beliefs, we had values, we have habits. We also have rules. Every successful person will tell you, to be successful, you must break the rules. Not the laws, the rules. And we all have rules. People gave us their rules that raised us. People will say, you can't be outspoken. You can't talk about money. You can't talk about sex. You can't talk about your problems. You can't be emotional. What kind of rules were you raised with that you have in place that prevent you from doing what you want? All right? Now let's move over to self-image. Number one, self-image is also self-esteem, and it is also your self-worth. It is the internal image that you carry of yourself that determines what it is that you are, in other words, who you're being on a daily basis, what you're giving, what you're creating, how you're expressing, and what you're receiving. So self-worth being the idea of, am I worthy of the greatness that I want for my life? We have to ask ourselves, are you worthy of success and greatness? Do you feel that you personally are worthy of success and greatness? Number two, are you worthy of wealth? Are you worthy of wealth? Wallace Wattles pointed out in one of the opening lines of The Science of Getting Rich that we cannot live a completely fulfilled or spiritual life without being wealthy, because wealth brings us the ways and the means to attain more knowledge, to be able to create more, to be able to give more, to be able to be more, to be able to do more. In order to become wealthy, we have to believe that we're worthy of wealth. Number three, are you worthy of self-expression? Now, this is a big one, because most people put on a mask. They put on a costume every day when they go out into the world. And they say, this costume is who I am. Instead of really understanding who they are and then adorning themselves in the way of being, in their way of dressing, in their way of expressing themselves as an exploited exaggeration of who they really are to take themselves out into the world. That is perfectly healthy. But covering yourself up saying, I'm something completely different, don't see me because I'm afraid to be judged, I'm afraid to be ridiculed, I'm afraid to be rejected, is not healthy. That is not healthy self-worth. Number four, are you worthy of a great life? You know, at the time of this recording, there's 7+ billion people on the planet. The majority of the world still lives in poverty. With all the knowledge that we have, with all the freedom that we have, with all the technology and the abilities that we have a world where primarily most people live in poverty. And there's no reason for it. People are living in poverty out of either suppression, in other words, they're being suppressed by some government, or out of ignorance. Those are the only two reasons. People suffer needlessly all over the world. Even in some of the greatest, wealthiest, most open countries in the world, you can walk down the street of any major city and you can see people that are just suffering to great extent. Why? Something's wrong on the inside. Everybody runs around and says we need to do something on the outside, but something's wrong on the inside. You have to ask yourself, are you worthy of a great life? Okay, your homework is to answer these questions. There's no right or wrong. This is to give you a balance and an idea of where you are so that you can change the things that are necessary in order to become the person that you're truly meant to be.
Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/freestuff.